You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Faith is an exercise in trusting the generosity of God to give the very wisdom or other things that you know you need. God, it says in verse 5, that God gives generously. Remember, we talked about that word. It means freely. It means singularly. It means without complications. God doesn't ask you to jump through all these hoops. He's ready to give you what you need, and we have to receive it that way. When he says, I'm going to give it, we have to say, and I'm going to receive it, and I believe it's coming. We need to be just that quick.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God, to grow spiritually, to defend against the enemy, or to be of any use to God. You must also have faith when you pray. You are told in Scripture to pray with confidence, believing He can do what He's promised. Today, Pastor Tom explains the importance of faith, especially in prayer. If you pray with doubt, don't expect to receive anything from God. Remember who you're talking to. He is Almighty God, Creator and Sustainer of the world. Have faith in His generous promises. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he begins his message, The Peril of Praying with Doubt.
How do you live the Christian life? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith must be pretty important then. If we have to walk step by step, not by sight, we have to walk by faith. Martin Luther said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. So sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Faith. We live, walk by faith. Rufus Jones said, there is no great future for any people whose faith has burned out. I hope your faith hasn't burned out because there's no future for you that way. You have to have faith to live the Christian life. You cannot do the things that God tells you to do without faith in Him. The requirements of God, love your enemies, give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice in trials, that's impossible. That's pie in the sky talk unless there is faith in God, that He makes all that possible, and that He can work that in me, and that I can see the reason for those things. Faith is that important. I love preaching on faith. I tell my wife every once in a while when I'm down, bad mood, things aren't going well, it's because my faith's not burning very strongly. When faith burns strongly, I can handle a lot of things. And when my faith is kind of wobbly, just about anything handles me. You ever feel that way? It is amazing. What is faith? Well, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right? We're told that in Hebrews 11. The assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So you have a sure hope. It is the conviction. Conviction is something you know is true, right? It's the conviction of things what? Not seen. You don't see it. But you know it's coming. You love reading Hebrews 11. If you're ever deficient in faith, you pick that chapter up, you begin reading it, right? Hebrews 11 tells about all the people who live by faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. So Cain didn't have the faith Abel did, and he offered and worshiped better than Cain did. That's pretty simple. By faith, Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of the household. That's pretty important because it had never rained up to that point in time. And he said the whole world was going to be flooded by rain. So he had to have faith. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the promised land. So, promised land was the promised land. To him, it was an alien land. He had to have faith. By faith, Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. How old was she again? 90? Even back then, that's something. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus. Man's dying, he says, yeah, when we exit and go back to the promised land, take my bones. He didn't see that, but he had a conviction about it, right? By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Here's a guy who chose persecution. You know, we run from it, right? No, Lord. Moses said, no, I'd rather be persecuted with the people of God than have all these riches. Man, that's faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And you thought it was by the trumpet blast. No wonder it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, you might be out there thinking, I want to please God. Well, there you got a pretty clear hint. You know, I hate it when people say, the Bible's unclear about what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Is there anything unclear about that? Today, we're going to learn about praying in faith. Praying in faith. Or more particularly, what happens when we don't? Because sometimes we do pray without faith. Our inspired text is James 1, 6 to 8. We're going to get through a whopping three verses today. And this is instructive to us. Really, it connects to verse 5 and before. We'll see that as we go along. James 1, 6 to 8. I'll read it. Follow along. You'll get more out of it. But he must ask in faith. Talking about the prayer for wisdom. Without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, most of you already know that this exhortation on faith in prayer comes in the context of enduring and learning from our trials, right? God uses difficulties we fall into in order to mature us, to make us more spiritual, to make us grow up in our faith. That's what he uses them for. As you glance back, and please do, in verses 2 through 5, you will remember the terrain we've already covered. And we see that when trials come, and it can come suddenly, and we fall into the midst of them, we need endurance. We need to rejoice what God is going to do with that, but we need endurance. And then with that endurance, it leads to a completion and a perfection of our Christ-like character. It matures us, in other words. Because God doesn't want us lacking anything in our character. We may be strong in one area, but not in another. And so we might say, but Lord, I'm really committed. But the Lord says, you're really committed, but you need to learn more here. You might be good with mercy, but not so good with justice. You might be good with justice, but not so good with mercy. You might be good here and not there. And so God wants a fullness and completion of character. And so the trials continue throughout life to carve that into us. See, all of that's the background of this. I want Christ-like character. You should too. You're not going to get it merely by listening to sermons. You're going to need some trials. But then when you get the trial, you have to ask God for wisdom. Now remember, God is generous in giving the wisdom. It says that there. Why do we need the wisdom? We need to know, often we want to know why we're in the trial. We don't always get the wisdom for that. But we do need to know what we should do in the midst of trial, even if we don't know why we're going through the trial. And we always need the wisdom. Think of wisdom a little more broadly here as that which is how to live the Christian life in the midst of all the difficulties that we go through. In other words, it's a broad concept. Wisdom is godly knowledge lived out. Wisdom makes us live godly. So we have to ask God for it. He has a lot of it, and he gives it, and he gives it freely and generously, simply, without complications. And that's where we land today. We need to ask God for that. God wants us, when we ask, to be believing. That's simple. He wants us to believe. Trials hit. We need wisdom. We ask. He's ready to give. He just wants us to be believing. Trust him. Otherwise, we're not going to get any of the wisdom from God. We're not going to get it. So it's really a simple lesson today. It's really simple, I think. James is contrasting two ways of praying, two ways you pray and I pray. I have spent a number of sessions praying and realized at the end of my prayer time, it was a complaining session. It wasn't a believing session. You know, I wasn't really believing. I was uttering words, but it was more like anxiety grew the more I prayed. So I know believers can pray not believing. And I'll bet that you have prayed many times, and then realize, I really wasn't believing here. I was just uttering the words, you know. We're following someone else praying like, amen. But you didn't really believe. And you know that. So there's two ways of praying. Praying with faith, praying with doubt. Obviously, we already know the better way of praying, right? So it's not like you're going to learn something fascinating here today. But we're going to take a lesson you know, and we're going to kind of drive it more deeply into us and apply it better. Interestingly, the Holy Spirit moved James to write more about the doubting than about the believing, and I think there's a reason for that as well. But we're going to first take a look at praying with faith, because that's where verse 6 starts. But he must ask in faith. He must ask in faith. Does that sound like an imperative with God? He must ask in faith. Go ahead and ask, but you must ask in faith. Now, I just wanted to say that because that's simple, and I like when things are simple. I like when things are clear. Behold the clarity of Scripture. There it is for you. you know, we can't really understand the Bible, you know. We can't really understand the Bible. That's said by people that don't read it, right? And fourth graders understand this. I used to be a fourth grade teacher for years. They can understand this. What does it say? Mr. Leek, it says we should pray in faith. That's close, Johnny. Actually says we must ask in faith. Oh, yeah, that's what it says. It's pretty clear. Make sure when you ask God for wisdom, can I fill it in a little bit here? You remember who you're talking to. Almighty God sitting on his throne, control of absolutely everything, has no needs, all the resources. He speaks, things come into existence. That's who you're talking with? Better than the President of the United States of America, would you agree? Better than a monarch, would you agree? Better than Bill Gates, would you agree? You're talking to God. Must ask in faith. We forget that sometimes, don't we? Nevertheless, we sometimes don't ask in faith. So we need to press the lesson further. First, I want you to notice this, that believers must be exhorted to believe when praying. Believers have to be told, believe, when they pray. That's what it's saying. It's writing to believers, to the brethren, to the church, to those who have faith in Christ. It's already been clear. And he's saying, you better believe. Now, why even write that to believers if they always believe in prayer? They don't always. Second, I want you to notice what faith is. It says you have to believe. You have to have faith. You must have faith. Faith is the noun pistis. We already read Hebrews 11:1. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, in other words, is taking God at his word. You ever talk to someone that you know has perfect integrity and they tell you something is true and you look in their eyes and you're like, yeah, it's true. You know, if Joe says it, it's gospel. It's true. Man doesn't lie. Well, that's the point. You take God at his word. If he says, I'm going to give you wisdom, and you go, you know, I'm not really sure you will. You're questioning God's what? Integrity, right? So it's taking God at his word. We trust his word more than we trust our eyes. That's another simple lesson, isn't it? We trust his word more than we trust our eyes. No, we don't. I'll believe it when I... it's so bad. See, you pray doubting. You're doubting when you pray. You're like, I'll believe it when I see it. That is doubting. That is not believing. By the way, when we talk about what faith is, faith always has to be in something, someone. Faith is always in somebody, some person. You can't really have faith in faith. You know, there's all these silly ideas out there. I just believe. What do you believe in? I just believe. I just feel in my heart. Well, what, do you have faith in your feelings? You have faith in what? What do you have faith in? He doesn't know. I just believe. That kind of a faith is not what God is talking about. That kind of a faith does not honor God. That kind of faith ultimately disappoints a person. For a while, they feel pretty psyched up about their faith. But then it doesn't yield what it's supposed to, and then they get very, very what? Disappointed. That's not the kind of faith that God is encouraging. Believe in believing. Believe, you know, that the stars are lined up. Believe. What are you believing in? We're about to believe in God, right? It has to have a landing place. The faith has to land and then rest. Where does it rest? Word of God. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, truthful, sufficient, authoritative, blessed, Word of God. There it is. It has to land on the Word of God. I also want to say this as we're getting started. He's not talking about a saving faith here. You have to have saving faith in order to pray with faith, but he's assuming they already have saving faith, and now he's talking to them about the faith that they need to exercise beyond that saving faith so that they believe God in their requests. Faith is, of course, what marks someone as a true Christian in the first place. If you have faith, Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins, you know he was risen from the dead, and when you call him Lord, you mean that. That means you want to follow him. Then you're saved. You are saved from your sins. You are forgiven of all of your sins. You're headed to heaven. You're one of his children. You're saved, and you should have confidence in that. It's really that simple. But today, people don't have faith in Christ. When they talk about faith, and it's wonderful, you know, you go into the stores and you buy something for your house, and it says hope. And we got one of those in our house. Faith. Joy. It's like, but we don't really believe in hope, faith, and joy. We believe in faith in God, hope in God, and joy from God, right? And it's got to be the right God now. We got to make all of that clear. People today have faith in themselves. They say it's something like, we need to always think positively. What do you think? My positive thoughts are going to leave my head and they're going to change everything around me? Make everyone listen well, Lord. You know, it's not just from my head, right? or I think or maybe pray to myself, or I think my positive thoughts will influence and give me a good day. Today's going to be a good day. Why? I don't know, because I feel good about the day. That's not faith. Popular TV preachers who are, some of them not Christian at all, they teach, have faith in self, faith in the power of your word, faith in the power of your thoughts. The power of positive thinking was, you know, around for a long time. That's not the message of the New Testament at all. It's a false gospel. It's a gospel of self-esteem. If I esteem myself, then somehow everything will work out well for me. That's not the teaching of the New Testament. Children in school are taught to have faith in self, to believe in their dreams, never to think negative thoughts. Many of them end up very disappointed. You know how I know? Because you used to be kids in school, and you've grown up, and you didn't get to do everything you wanted to do in life, right? So you can't have faith in self or faith in your dreams. That's not the Christian faith. That's never pleasing to God. That kind of faith ultimately disappoints people. God is not pleased with faith per se. Faith placed in the wrong object is deception. Let me say that again. Faith placed in the wrong person, object, is deception and eventually destruction. The faith that James refers to here is an attitude of your heart as a believer that does not question God's word or God's motives or God's abilities. Faith expects only good things from God. That's why you rush to prayer. How many of you are struggling with prayer right now, getting good quality time of prayer? What we're really struggling with prayer is we're too distracted with things of the world, we're wanting things in the world, or we come to God and we're like, I'm not really sure anything good's going to come out of this prayer time. We're really struggling with faith that God takes notice of us. That other guy, maybe, but not me. That other guy who prays a lot, maybe, but not me. And sometimes we have little intellectual ways of justifying that, but I prayed and I didn't get anything, and I prayed and I didn't get anything. And sort of has fed some of our doubt rather than increasing in faith. And we're not growing, we're not praying because we're struggling actually with faith in God. And James is trying to help us to see that's wrong. Jesus put it this way. This is in Matthew 7, we read this. If you being evil, by the way, did Jesus believe in the depravity of the human race? He's talking to his best disciples when he said that. Not the worst people, his best people. If you then, turning to his disciples, being evil, there's a lot of theology in that. I'm tempted to go that direction, but I'm not. Know how to give good gifts to your children. You see the argument from the lesser to the greater, right? How much more will God, there's no evil in God, give what is good to those who ask him? This kind of faith moves mountains, we're told in Matthew 17, 20. Why does this kind of faith move mountains? Because God can move mountains when it's the right time to move the mountains in the right way. How do we get faith in Christ? Well, we get our initial saving faith from Christ, we're told in Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. We hear what Jesus Christ did. We hear the gospel of Jesus. We hear about all that he came to do and accomplish. And as we listen, God gives our minds and hearts faith. And all of a sudden, we realize we're believers. But how do I grow in faith? The answer is I grow in faith by hearing more of God's word and being more convinced of it. And I deepen in my faith that way as well. You may be here today and you're not sure that you have faith in Jesus. How do you get faith in Jesus? The answer is just keep listening with an open and true heart to the word of God and then ask God, God, I don't know that I have enough faith to be saved. Say, I need faith to be saved. God will answer that prayer. God will grant you that faith to be saved. But you must listen to the word of God. And then God works faith into each of us as we're listening with an open heart. Faith then, once we get it from God, assures us that what we've not yet seen is true. It's true. I often like to say, Christianity is not a religion, it's reality. One day, it'll be seen. It's reality. It'll be tangible. You'll see it one day. And that's why faith is so important, because you're believing in what is true. And that's why we have to live by faith. You get it? Everything we do as Christians depends on faith. Do you think you're going to love others really well if your faith is weak? This is where you say no. Okay, no. Do you think your worship will be zealous and all out, you know, just singing the hymns like you really should if your faith is like, I'm not really sure. No, it's not going to be, right? What about your witnessing? You're going to go up and tell someone, I got great news. Jesus Christ could save your soul. Are you going to do that if you don't really firmly believe that? No, you're not. Leading your family, gentlemen, is going to be hard without you growing in faith. Resisting temptation, you're going to be an easy target for the devil with weak faith. All the fruit of the Christian life stems from faith. That's why I love to preach on it. Third, I want you to notice this. Faith is the requirement for receiving what we ask. That's really the main point of it. Faith is the requirement for receiving what we ask. How do I get things from God? Answer? Faith. Faith. I believe God. Of course, what is being asked for here is wisdom. But remember, wisdom is not simple knowledge. It's fullness of understanding that results in a character that's lived out in life. And we're going to see here in when we get down to verse 8 that James does not mean to limit this principle of believing prayer only to one little tiny request for wisdom. First of all, the request for wisdom is a very broad request. It's not just, Lord, what job should I get next? It's wisdom to know how to live in all of life. That's what wisdom is. So when you're asking for wisdom, you're asking, how do I live this Christian life, really, is what you're asking. But beyond that, notice in verse 8, it says the doubter must not expect that he'll get anything from the Lord. Anything. He kind of broadens the principle out. Believing prayer is important for all the things that we pray about. This extends to other things we ask. Faith is an exercise in trusting the generosity of God to give the very wisdom or other things that you know you need. God, it says in verse 5, that God gives generously. Remember, we talked about that word. It means freely. It means singularly. It means without complications. God doesn't ask you to jump through all these hoops. He's ready to give you what you need, and we have to receive it that way. When he says, I'm going to give it, we have to say, and I'm going to receive it, and I believe it's coming. We need to be just that quick. Now, we don't always know what God is going to give us, but we know what God gives us will be as good as what we're asking for or better. Because he's a little smarter than we are. Let me put it this way. Faith is the only proper human response to a very good and generous God. So prayer doesn't bring you anything. Prayer in faith, prayer by faith in God, brings you things. There is no acceptable prayer to God wrapped in doubt. Void of faith. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, all things you ask in prayer, you shall receive. Is that what he said? No! See, that was a little trick. All things you ask in prayer, I left one little word out, believing you shall receive. Believing. Now, I know the health and wealth preachers abuse that verse and other verses like it, right? Believe you'll have riches. Call them down from heaven. Have confidence. Just pray away your ailment right now. Health and wealth, instantly. I know they abuse that verse, but that doesn't mean that we should de-emphasize the importance of faith because they are using faith as a tool to demand from God whatever they want in their carnal nature, right? Faith is still very important. It is true, God is not a mere dispensing machine, put your little 50 cents in and get out whatever it is that you want from God. We are the ones that have to trust him, and he is the one who can test us before he answers the prayers. He's in charge, not us. He's in control, not our prayers. Our prayers don't control God until they connect with what God wants for our life in the first place, and that means we have to pray scripturally with a good heart to God, and that's what allows us to believe that we're going to receive what God said. But we must always believe that God is doing good in our lives. We must believe that he will answer our prayers. 1 John 5 puts it this way. This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we ask from him. That's confidence. That is real faith. But you say, I do believe when I ask. I just don't completely believe. I have my doubts that God is going to give me what I need. And to that, James writes next in verse 6, the wrong way of praying, praying with doubt. Let him ask without any doubt.
God wants you to pray believing in his good character and that he can fulfill any promise he's given. Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom encouraged you to trust in God's generosity and goodness and pray in faith. He challenged you to trust in him more than your circumstances and more than your own thoughts and abilities. Have faith that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears and will answer you. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you. So if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443 443- 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. God doesn't ask you just to have faith without some proof. It's true you can't see God, and you must have faith in what you can't see, but He calls you to believe in response to the teaching in His Word. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will teach about how it is reasonable to have faith in God and trust Him. The more you work through your doubts, your faith grows and becomes stronger. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.